Okay, let's turn now to the Fairness Doctrine. We know from earlier in this chapter that the Fairness Doctrine, if it were to return, is constitutional, thanks to the Red Lion case. Okay? The Fairness Doctrine existed from about the 1930s until 1987. Okay? It required broadcasters, again, over the air, radio, and television, to cover all sides of controversial issues of public importance, even if that meant giving away some airtime for free. Most broadcasters, as you might suggest, weren't really that keen on providing that information, right? Because frankly, most people aren't going to want to watch or listen to a bunch of talking heads debating immigration policy or health care. They would really rather watch, you know, the next reality-based television show and see what celebrity is dissing on whom. Okay? So it was not very popular. Now, there were a bunch of cases that were brought before the courts. Some people did lose their licenses. But we no longer have the Fairness Doctrine. I'll say that again. We no longer have the Fairness Doctrine. It is bad law as of 1987. It was abolished by President Reagan. Okay? At the time, the FCC got rid of it. The Democratic Congress thought it would be a good idea to have it anyway and passed it as a law. But then President Reagan vetoed it, and the Congress wasn't able to come up with enough votes to override the veto. Therefore, as of 1987, we have no more Fairness Doctrine. But it was considered to be constitutional in 1969 in Red Lion, so if we were to get it back again in the same or similar format, it would probably be constitutional. The FCC at the time had argued, well, you know, I really don't want this in place. We think that this is a thing to be concerned about because we don't want bureaucrats second-guessing broadcasters' judgment. There's an issue of chilling. There really isn't much of a rationale for scarcity anymore. Okay, that was its arguments. And the concern also was that there weren't very many stations that were cited for violations. Okay, Julius Genachowski, when he was being interviewed to be the chair of the FCC, was asked, are you going to bring the Fairness Doctrine back? And he answered, no. So I'm guessing certainly within the next 5 years, we probably will not see a Fairness Doctrine. And if I had to bet, I'm guessing we're probably not going to see a Fairness Doctrine in my lifetime. It's possible it could come back, and if it were to, it would be good law if it were similar to the one that was abolished in 1987. Okay. Let's turn now to net neutrality. Net neutrality is the concept that all traffic on the internet should be treated the same. Okay, what does that mean? Well, that means that when I go on my website and I go to fcc.gov, which I do on a regular basis because I'm a dork that way, I get to that site just as fast as if I would go to facebook.com, newyorktimes.com, fullerton.edu, ebay.com, you name it. Okay, all traffic is treated the same. All right. There is no bottlenecking on the internet. In other words, there is no ISP deciding that you can go to Facebook fast but Amazon slow. Okay? That's what net neutrality means. All right? Many, many people who are internet users are fans of this. All right? ISPs are not, because some ISPs would like to charge more for selectively faster service. There's been some argument, some discussion on maybe providing tiers of service or providing slower service or no service to BitTorrent. All right, BitTorrent, what we talked about in Chapter 6, is frankly an awful lot, you know, it's an awful bandwidth hog. It likes to take bandwidth, all right? And there were some companies that were slowing or eliminating access to some torrent sites, all right? In fact, Comcast was sued by the FCC, brought suit against by the FCC, because they had been regulating torrents. The FCC thought it had the authority to regulate net neutrality. But in 2010, the D.C. Circuit slapped their hand and said, no, there's nothing in the Communications Act of 1934 that gives the FCC the authority to regulate net neutrality. OMG. So who does regulate it? Well, there's been some going back and forth. Julian Genachowski immediately issued this statement called The Third Way, in which he proposed a hybrid structure to try to claim that power for the FCC. Maybe Congress would have to pass a law. This is still very much a work in progress. Right? It is something that I'm watching very carefully, very closely, because I'm really interested in seeing how the ISPs are going to react to issues of net neutrality. Right now, the internet is generally treated the same. I can download a BitTorrent just as fast as I can go to Facebook, just as fast as I can go to Fullerton's website, just as fast as I can go to the FCC. However, it's still going to be controversial for a while. Right? I'm a little concerned. I'm watching this, so I guess the message is stay tuned. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about indecency law. Indecency law is naughty words or sexual activities on television. Not violence, just sex and what we call excretory acts. You can look that up. It is not the same thing as obscenity law. We're not going to study obscenity law, largely because we don't have the time. But obscenity has a test called the Miller test. And the Miller test is a lot stricter than the test for indecency. Indecency law comes out of the Radio Act of 1927, and it's a double standard. If indecent words are printed in the newspaper, it's perfectly fine. But if they're broadcast on TV or radio during the afternoon of a weekday, it's not so fine. You might be thinking that's unfair. I sort of agree with you, but this is the law. The actual law says whoever utters any obscene, indecent, or profane language by means of radio communication shall be fined not more than $10,000 or imprisoned not more than 2 years or both. The definition of indecency is language or material that in context depicts or describes, in terms patently offensive as measured by contemporary community standards for the broadcast medium, sexual or excretory organs or activities. In English, dirty words, all right, the S word, the F word, etc., 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 excretory functions, organs, or activities, okay? The filthy words monologue that I play in class is one example of indecent speech, all right? I'm going to use profanity in just a minute. It's George Carlin's case. George Carlin has a monologue called the filthy words monologue in which he talks about the seven words you can't say on television, and I'm going to be profane. So step away from the computer or mute it for a few seconds. The profane words are shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. And he says that over and over and over and over and over again. And he does it in sort of a political commentary. Do we really want to give these words this much power and all words can hurt, can heal? It's really a really smart bit of comedic satire. But it also has those dirty words in it over and over again. So a father and his son were driving down the road on like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, and the Pacifica radio station, or a radio station that was owned by Pacifica, broadcast the filthy words monologue with a warning saying this is going to be some, you know, profanity. If you're offended, turn the radio off, kind of like I just did. Okay? The father and his son listened to the monologue and then were offended and complained to the FCC, which fined Pacifica. Pacifica went to court and said, well, this doesn't seem fair. We warned them, etc., etc. The Supreme Court came down on the side of the dad and said, obscenity and indecency are considered to be different standards. Your son, your 10-year-old son, should not have to be bombarded with that sort of language in the middle of the day. And yes, it is easier to prove that something is indecent rather than obscene because, you know, and the court said that's okay because the broadcast media is so pervasive. All that stuff we talked about a little bit earlier in this chapter. Bottom line for the Pacifica Foundation case is it has established the idea of safe harbors. Safe harbors are 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. local. And during that time, broadcasters can broadcast indecent speech. Okay? And the rationale, of course, is that little kids are less likely to be in the audience between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Okay? Now, there is no such thing as safe harbors, no need for safe harbors, on cable, satellite television, and radio. Again, the idea being that these are subscription services, not using a public resource, not bound by PyCon, but a lot of stations decide to go with indecency self-regulations anyway because the FCC has been buzzing a little bit that there may someday be indecency rules on cable and satellite, something that freaks out cable and satellite a good deal. So they're doing a little bit of self-monitoring. Okay? All right, here's the indecency standard. The FCC will look at whether the material is explicit or graphic, whether it dwells on or repeats at length descriptions of sexual or excretory organs or activities, and whether the material appears to pander or is used to titillate or shock. Now, you'll notice there's no star on that because I don't think it's really that fair of me to test you on a standard that I'm not sure I understand myself. How explicit is too explicit? How graphic is too graphic? Who gets to determine that? Me? You? My grandma? Your grandma? Your mom? Your very prudish aunt or uncle? How long is repeating at length? If I say it once, is that okay? How about twice? How about four times? How about if I'm Carlin's monologue and I say it many times? Is there a magic number? No. Does the material pander or titillate or shock? Well, nothing shocks me. Am I average? All right. But a lot of stuff shocks my mother. Is she the average person? Ah, this makes me crazy. I'm never going to test you on this. All I can do is give you some examples. The FCC has said that it is indecent for Howard Stern to interview a guest at length about his sphincterine swamp ass invention. Apparently there's a guy who, in having sexual relations with his girlfriend, determined that she was not so fresh in certain positions and invented a spray for that. Apparently talking about that at 7:25 in the morning was considered indecent by the FCC when Howard Stern did it. Again, this is when Howard Stern was on terrestrial radio. It is also indecent for two morning show personalities to discuss a third's use of a pee-pee pump to enhance his or her, or his member, I guess it would be a guy. All right. So, you know, morning shows always push the envelope. They got an enhancer, and the guy went in the back room and was talking about it, and these other personalities were talking about it. 9 o'clock in the morning, indecent. However, not indecent for CNN technician to drop the F-bomb when he drops a heavy bolt or something on his foot over a live mic at the DNC convention in 2004. Not indecent. All right. Also not indecent for a bunch of cuss words to be in an unedited showing of Saving Private Ryan shown on Memorial Day when introduced by John McCain, saying how important it was that people hear this real language. Now, if you're thinking, I don't really see the difference, you'd be at least agreeing with me. I don't see much of a difference. I think if you're going to have those words indecent in a Saving Private Ryan show, even introduced by John McCain, you should have the sphincterine swamp ass invention be okay too. But that's just me, and I'm not on the Supreme Court or the FCC, so until then, you got to know this law. Okay? Now, Janet Jackson caused a big kerfluffle in indecency in 2004. Here's Janet, here's Justin, here's Janet, Justin, rip, ah! Most TiVo'd moment in television, Janet Jackson's nipple candy. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, I think they planned it, because who wears, you know, nipple jewelry unless they're going to show it, right? But as a result of this, where many, many, many millions of people saw it, there has been heavy political pressure to get indecency off the airwaves. Okay? There was initially a fine of about $500,000 for the Janet wardrobe malfunction. That was overturned. It's still going back and forth, even though you only got to see her breast for 1930 seconds of a second. That's all. Most TiVo'd moments, right? It was probably seen a lot more, people going back saying, did I really see that? And certainly you can see it on YouTube if you want as well. FCC argued that CBS knew the show would be titillating and marketed it as shocking. It's back and forth. All right? Stay tuned. We also know that CBS and Viacom in the Howard Stern days paid a whole lot of fines. In fact, they built those fines in to the cost of doing business. They actually simply said, okay, these are the fines. Here's a bunch of money that we're going to put aside because we know Howard Stern is going to get fined. As we're going to see, George W. Bush wanted to change all that with the Broadcast Decency Enforcement Act. Okay? Now, there have been a couple of other cases that have developed in recent times. There's Bono, my hero. Bono gets on the Golden Globe Award television show. He and U2 have won an award, and he says, as only Bono can, this is really, really fucking brilliant. And, of course, it didn't get bleeped. Initially, the FCC said, oh, no worries, it's a fleeting expletive. It's one word. He clearly didn't mean the sexual act. He used it to express pleasure. And then Janet Jackson, you know, revealed her breast. And all hell broke loose, right? The word itself was not considered indecent at the FCC at the time. But then afterwards, they said, well, we're not going to fine Bono in that show, but we're going to put you on notice that any time the F word is used, in any context, it inherently has a sexual connotation and therefore falls within the first prong of our indecency definition, the one I showed you a couple slides ago. Now, then they ended up fining a couple of shows. Okay? The Second Circuit said the FCC policy change was really in violation of something called the Administrative Procedures Act, the administrative law that says that you can't change horses in the middle of the stream, and that the FCC really couldn't punish fleeting expletives without appropriate procedure to change the policy. The FCC appeals to the Supreme Court, and we get the case of FCC versus Fox Television. We'll see it on the final exam. The Supreme Court said, you're wrong. The FCC did not violate the Administrative Procedures Act by implementing the so-called fleeting expletives policy. The gentleman on the top who is giving you the Italian hand purse is Justice Scalia. He said the policy is not arbitrary and is an okay indecency policy. Right? The FCC doesn't have to prove that their policy is better. It simply has to give time for discussion. It did that. We're all good. Now, what's interesting about this to me and other people who teach and watch media law is that gentleman on the bottom, that's Justice Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas agreed that the FCC did not violate the Administrative Procedures Act. Okay? It agreed. Now, what he said that was interesting to me was he said, the whole indecency policy is based on two cases, Pacifica and Red Lion. We've talked about both of them. Thomas said, I don't like either of these. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a case that questioned those two cases? He's basically inviting there to be a case that would reconsider Pacifica and Red Lion. This, to me, is a break in the clouds of indecency law and really of this whole two-tiered system, because Thomas may be inviting us to the Supreme Court to overturn the entire two-tiered Red Lion system. And that, my friends, would be a cause for rejoicing and many alcoholic beverages, because that would be a good thing indeed. Now, it was remanded back to the Second Circuit, which got the case earlier this year and struck down the entire indecency regime just this summer in a case called Fox Television versus FCC. Big deal. All right. Now, that is not going to be in any textbook you've got right now, at least the ones that was the green cover, because it happened after my deadline. But bottom line, the Second Circuit says the entire indecency regime, goodbye. The court could have ruled on these narrow administrative grounds, but it went beyond, saying, quote, the FCC's indecency policy violates the First Amendment because it is unconstitutionally vague, creating a chilling effect that goes far beyond the fleeting expletives here at issue. All right? And again, the whole idea is here not concern whether the broadcasters will push the envelope, but the need to provide standards. The Second Circuit said it's really unfair to hold broadcasters to standards that the FCC really hasn't provided good clarification on. Now, we don't know what's going to happen next. Maybe a petition for the Second Circuit to hear it en banc, which is the whole panel of justices, or maybe an appeal to the Supreme Court. Again, another place where we have to stay tuned. But this case is a big, big deal. And I'm really personally fascinated by this because I study indecency law, and I think that this case has the potential to overturn the whole darn thing, given what Clarence Thomas said in the case at the Supreme Court. Interesting stuff. All right, Broadcast Decency Enforcement Act, as I said. That's the act that was passed in 2005, signed by President Bush in 2006, that raises the maximum indecency fine from $32,500 to $325,000. That's a factor of 10. That's real money, because that is per utterance, per station. Okay, so a broadcaster could be fined a ton. No other indecency elements were changed, so the fleeting expletive, that wasn't addressed here. It was simply a raise in the maximum fines. President Bush said when he signed it, by allowing the FCC to levy stiffer and more meaningful fines on broadcasters who violate decency standards, this law will ensure that broadcasters take seriously their duty to keep the public airwaves free of obscene, profane, and indecent material. In English, he didn't want the lower fines that there were to be seen as a cost of doing business. In other words, he didn't want broadcasters to simply build indecency fines into their budgets. Because we're talking real money here. If one program, say CBS, there's one F-bomb, and 100 stations broadcast that one F-bomb, that's 100 times $325,000 that CBS or whoever I was I said could be fined. That's real money. That could bankrupt stations. Right? So this was intended to give teeth into indecency enforcement.